Thank you very much. Firstly, I'm trying to share my screen. Is there a way to do that? Do you know? I apologize. I should have mentioned that before.
There's a green share screen.
Host disabled participant share screen sharing.
Should be good now.
Okay. Good. Perfect. Okay. Share. Works. You can see it? Amazing. Okay. Okay. So, again, thank you for the introduction. I'm more than happy to do this. I think this is, as I mentioned last time, this is just a really great organization that has such a great mission. So I'm happy to be a part of it. Okay, the way the talk tonight is going to go is I'm going to discuss different halachic quandaries that come up for clinicians in the hospital in Purim, whether that be the night or during the day. It's going to be based off questions I have received over the last number of years. That's kind of how I built, as I did in the last talks we've had also, but that's how I built the direction of the shiur. So we're going to begin really discussing probably the most prominent question, which is the question of Megillah. There are different aspects of that question, but the basic formulation is, I'm in the hospital on Purim, whether that be the night or during the day, what do I do about listening or reading the Megillah? So the short answer is that if it's possible, the ideal thing is to get a klaf, or you have a kosher Megillah, and you either, if you know how to read it, so you read it by yourself, or if you don't, so you put it in headphones and you try to listen to someone and read with them in order to be yotzei your mitzvah. That's again the very short way of the short ideal way of accomplishing the mitzvah. Now that runs into a few halachic issues, which we're going to begin discussing, and that's really how we're going to start. So we're going to start with the following. So the question is whether one is allowed even to read the Megillah when it's not in a public format, when it's not with 10 men, for example. So the Gemara Megillah Daf Hey Amud Aleph, I put here on the slide, right? So Marav Megillah Bizmana Koronosa Afilu Biyachid. That when you're reading the Megillah at the right time, so for example, this year, you're reading it on a Sunday, so if you're or Motzei Shabbos, so when you read it, even if even a singular person, it doesn't have to be a minion. Just to skip a few words, Rav Asi disagrees. So Rav says you can read, you don't have to have a minion of people to read the Megillah. Rav Asi says you always need to have 10 men to read the Megillah. Hava Ovda concludes the Gemara, there was a story. And Rav decided to do like Rav Asi. He decided to be machmir, and he went to make sure that there were 10 people around before laying the Megillah. Okay, so the Rishon already tried figuring out what's the halacha. So the tour in Simin Tav Reish Pei Tes brings down a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Amram. And Rabbeinu Tam holds like Rav, which is Lakula, which says you can even read the Megillah as one person, as two people, as three people. Doesn't need to be 10 people. Rav Amram holds that you need 10 people, like Rav Asi. We paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, who paskins like Rav, who says even a singular person can be mekayim his mitzvah, can fulfill his mitzvah by reading the Megillah. Now, obviously, ideally, one should search out for a 10 people at least. Barov am hadras melech, the more the merrier, that is the better format of the mitzvah. Nevertheless, you would still be able to fulfill your mitzvah if you just had one or two people. That would not be a problem. Now, even though that is how we paskin, there is another machlokas in the Rishonim as to whether if someone is reading the Megillah himself as a singular person, whether he needs to make a bracha or not. The Mordechai says in Simen Tov Shin Pei Beis in Megillah says, you do not make a bracha. But we paskin like the Maharam Mirumberg, that's at the Beis Yosef, the Rama, they all paskin that even as a singular person, you would make a bracha. So practically speaking, if someone, you had a clinician working in the hospital on Purim night or Purim day, if they had a kosher Megillah, and they knew how to read the Megillah, or they were able to put in headphones and read along, they would be able to make the bracha themselves to be yotzei the mitzvah. That's what that's what comes out of this. Now, the second thing we kind of have to figure out is, even though we just said that you're able to make the bracha beforehand, but the Rama I put here in Simen Tov Reish Tzadi Beis and Siv Beis says Ein Levarich Acharei Le B'Tzibor. So we know Purim, before we read the Megillah, we make three brachos beforehand, and we also make one bracha afterwards. The one bracha afterwards is the bracha of Haravas Rivenu Adonis Dinenu, that longer bracha. So the Ramah explains, based off earlier sources, but the Ramah paskins that we only make that bracha when there's a tzibur, when there are 10 men. So if you were reading alone in the hospital, you would not make the bracha afterwards. Now, why that's true is not so clear. Either it's because, as Chacham Avadia explains, that's kind of this whole bracha is just a minhag at the end anyway, and it was, you know, developed that it was only meant to be said b'tzibur. Rav Shechter has in his Sefer B'ikvei Atzon, the reason why you don't say it when you're reading as a singular person or less than 10 people is because, you know, it's the idea is it's a bracha of a Talmud Torah derabim. So, for example, when you get an aliyah, so you make a bracha beforehand and afterwards. But if you were just learning yourself, you wouldn't make a bracha afterwards, even though we make a bracha in the morning beforehand. Because there's a special bracha that when you have Talmud Torah derabim, when you're teaching Torah in a public format, so you would make a bracha at the end. Either way, what comes out practically is, again, this clinician in the hospital is only going to make a bracha, or the brachos beforehand, but not a bracha afterwards. Now, what happens if the clinician comes and tells you, okay, I'm happy to do that, but I don't have 35, 40 minutes to read the Megillah. I only have a 10-minute break here and a 10-minute break there. Or I'm not sure if I'll be able to get through the whole Megillah. I can start reading, but chances are I'm going to get called in 15 minutes. What should I do then? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, based off the Mishnah, Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin, and the Gemara and Yud Ches, that Kara Seirugin, that if you read Seirugin, what's Seirugin? Dehainu shepasak ba v'shaha ach v'achar ka chazer l'makam shepasak. You read, and then you stopped reading, and you waited a certain amount, and then you continued on reading. Afilu shak de ligmor es kula yatza. Even if you waited enough to finish the entire Megillah, you would still be yotze your mitzvah. Meaning, you can read; you're able to read in spurts, and obviously, you can still make the bracha if you do it beforehand. Says the Ramah, Hagava afilu sach beintayim. Even if you spoke in between, it doesn't make a difference. Again, you're still able to read in spurts. It doesn't have to be consistent. You're not supposed to, but you would be totally able to be yotze your mitzvah if you did it that way. Now, the Mishnah Berurah here, I put on the source in Sifkat on Yud Ches, writes that this is true. However, the reason why you stopped reading and you had to read in spurts is because there was an onus. There was something out of your hand. So then you would have to return to the beginning of the Megillah. So if you start reading the Megillah, and then an onus happens, something out of your control, suddenly you just need to go to the bathroom out of nowhere, or suddenly, you know, something comes into your house, you have to change rooms, and you just have to wait, and you have to move room, and it's going to take a little bit. So in that case, you would have to go all the way back to the beginning. Says the Mishnah Berurah at the very end, Hu adin hacha dechozer v'kor, miyu ein lo levarich od pam sheni. However, if you were stopped because of an onus, something out of your hand, you wouldn't make a second bracha, you would just have to begin all the way from the beginning of the Megillah. So the question is, well, when you're a doctor and you're on call, and there are two options. Either you have a 10-minute break and you know you're going to have to go back in 10 minutes, or you may have an hour break, but there's a chance you got called in 20 minutes in. Either of those cases, what kind of breaking is that? Is that a regular case of Kara Seirugin, and that you're just reading it in spurts? Or is it a case of, no, the only reason you broke and you waited is because there's an onus. It's something out of your control. So the Mishnah Berurah already points to his comment back in Hilchos Kriya Shema, I put in the source, in Simen Samachay and Sifkatan Hey. Where there, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about Kriya Shema. So if someone's saying Kriya Shema, and then they have to stop for some reason, so they stop and then they continue reading. They stop and they continue reading. However, says the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah Paskins this way, if you stop because of an onus, you have to return back to the beginning. So says the Mishnah Berurah here, just to read it quickly, Tamam de bishlama im lo haya anos shem haya rotze haya yachol likros. Right, if there's no onus, so theoretically, if the person wanted to, he would continue reading. So that's lo havishtika. That's not considered as if you stopped. Vafil adibur hefsek. Aval ba'anos chashiva ashiya hefsek. But when there's something out of your control, we consider that break in between when you're reading, that's a real block, that's a real hefsek. Kivin shlo yahaz yachol likros, because you weren't able to read. The thing that happened that was out of your control, you just weren't able to do anything. So he says, according to the Magen Avraham, that's dafke ma'onas u'machmas sheha'ish eino roi. That's only if the person can't physically do anything. Kigon, shehutzrach l'nikavav, o she'amakom eino roi. So, for example, if the person needs to go to the bathroom, or it's not a clean place to read, again, here we're talking about Kriya Shema. So there, in that case, the reason he had to stop was because of an ones, and it's too bad he has to go back to the beginning, because he couldn't literally read the Kriya Shema during that time. Aval ones acher, but a different type of ones, kigon machmas listim. Let's say, out of nowhere, you were attacked by robbers. So that's kimosha shasak, that's as if you were just quiet, and you were doing it on purpose, and therefore it's not really hefzik, and you can continue reading. So again, what's important practically is the Mishnah Berurah is breaking up different types of breaks in your Kriya Shema, and as it applies to Megillah also. Again, if it's a regular break, you were in the middle of something, and then you had to stop for whatever reason, so you can come back and continue where you left off. If it's because of an ones, you have to go back to the beginning. Now, what's an ones? So the Mishnah Berurah says there are different types. Some onsen, some types of ones are because, again, something just happened, you had to go to the bathroom out of nowhere. So you can continue where you stopped. But others are opposite, right? Again, if it's that one that you have to go to the bathroom, so you have to go all the way back to the beginning. But other ones, like robbers came, that came out of nowhere, so that was as if you wanted to stop. It wasn't as if, right, theoretically, you could have continued reading if you wanted to. But you weren't able to. So what exactly is the doctor? So it's not so clear. There are probably room to say both. Ideally, you know, you should try to lay in the Megillah all at once. If that doesn't work, at least you should try to make the breaks in between the readings as short as possible. So if it's shorter than, you know, 40-45 minutes, 40 minutes, let's say, the time it takes to read the Megillah, that would also be totally fine. Now, if there's a break of, you know, an hour, hour and a half, so you may run into an issue whether you would have to go all the way back to the beginning or not. It's not so clear. Again, as I've expressed in other shiurim, it's a question that you should ask. You know, how long do the breaks have to be for the specific situations? There's also a difference between someone who's taking a break, but they're just on call. So theoretically, their break can be 2 hours. They just don't know. Versus someone that knows it's only 10 minutes. They know in 10 minutes they have to go back to their patients. And then there's also a difference between someone who knows that they have to go back to their patients just to do rounds versus someone who there may be an emergency. Because if it's just rounds, then theoretically you could have continued reading. So maybe that wouldn't be such a big deal if you stopped and you can come back. But if it's someone who has an acute issue that you would have to deal with, that may be an onus that you would have to go all the way back to the beginning and you couldn't really read through if you really wanted to. So again, these are questions about this concept of Kara Seirugin, about reading in spurts, that in general we would say you're allowed to do it. If it's an onus, you're not allowed to do it. Specifically, if it's an onus that's like going to the bathroom, that you wouldn't have the ability to read through, then you presumably would not be able to do it. There's an interesting question that I saw in the Sefer Toras HaYoledes, which is a Sefer that was printed with a lot of Psakim of Rab Zilberstein in Israel, and many others. And it discusses, you know, pregnant women kind of, as they get closer to birth, all the halachos that have to do with that. So there they write this question of what happens if someone was in the middle of reading the Megillah and in shul someone fainted and they needed someone to bring them to the hospital. So the person that brought them to the hospital, what's his story? Is he allowed to continue from where he left off? He left in the middle of the Megillah. Or does he have to make another bracha again? So he deals with that. And he quotes from Rav Yashiv, again, assuming the break was short, so he would make another bracha as he continued, though. He wouldn't go back to the beginning. He would continue from where he was, but then he would make another bracha. A very, very interesting psak. Again, you can look at it at the end of that Sefer Torah Sayoledes. So that may have some ramifications to our case. But again, these are just kind of ideas that people should have in the back of their minds, that if it's a possibility, these are questions that are important to ask. So that's number two. Now number three. This is what we discussed again. Ideally, a person would have ideally, I should really go back and say, ideally, try to get a minyan in the hospital. Many hospitals have chaplains. There was just a resident yesterday who was telling me that, you know, their chaplain in their hospital reached out to see if anyone needs to lay in, and hopefully they'll get a minyan, and that will obviously be ideal. We're only talking about a case when you can't. So then ideally have your own Megillah with a kosher Megillah with a klaf and read it yourself. If you need to read in spurts, so again, those are the things that we just said. Now, there is an important distinction between men and women. And that's really the following. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Echad HaKorei, this is in Tafresh Peites and Siv Beis, that anyone who reads or listens is Yotzei their mitzvah, as long as you listen from someone who's Chayiv in their Kriya. So therefore, if you have a Chiresh, a Katan, or a Shota, so you're not Yotzei, because they're not Yotzei themselves. V'yesh Omrim says, the Shulchan Aruch, She'anashim eina motzios es ha'anashim, that women can't be motzi men. This line of the Mechaber comes from the Shita of the Bahag. There's a big machlokas in the Rishonim that we know women are chayiv to in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. The question is whether women can be motzi men, can read for men. So Rashi and Arachin and Daf Beis Amud Beis, amongst other Rishonim, says yes. But the Shita of the Bahag, as brought down by Tosos in many places, including Megillah and Daf Talid, says no. The Bahag says a woman cannot be motzi. And the explanation that the Bahag gives is because really there are two different types of mitzvahs. So the mitzvah by men is to read the Megillah and listen. By women, it's just to listen. It's not to read. So if a woman's chiyuv is just to listen, she can't be motzi men whose chiyuv is to read. That's the basic idea of the Bahag, and as the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch is choshesh for that idea. So that's, again, important, A, because if you're in hospital and let's say there was, one of the doctors were a woman and one was a man, then the woman shouldn't read for the man. So if the woman is the only one who knows how to read it, so maybe, I don't know, read it together and both have a klaf so both can read it. But that's obviously some of it. But perhaps a more important nafkamina is if you have a woman resident who also needs to read the Megillah for herself, the bracha, according to the Ramah, here in Siv Beis, im ha'isha kor la'atzma mevarechas l'shmoa Megillah, she'ena chayevis b'kriya. Men make the bracha of al mikra Megillah, because that's their mitzvah. But women, because we're choshesh for the Bahag, their bracha is different, and it should be l'shmoa Megillah, ideally. If they said al mikra Megillah, they would be fine. But they should ideally say Lishmoa Megillah. It's a different bracha. So now, again, the question I was talking about that someone asked me yesterday with their chaplain, so it was a woman who asked me. So I told her if she ends up having to read, she should just try to make sure to make this bracha of Lishmoa Megillah if she's reading for herself. The other thing that's important that comes out of this Shulchan Aruch, it really stems from Yerushalmi at the beginning of the fourth parak of Megillah, is that one of the things on the list that the Mechaber writes is, "Im hayakor chayresh o katan o shota, a chayresh. If a chayresh reads for you, you are not yotzei." Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan, "Hey, haynu hamedaber ve'eno shomea klal." The chayresh that we're talking about is someone who can speak and not hear, meaning what we would call nowadays just someone deaf. Back then, very often, back in the times of the Gemara, if you were deaf, you also were mute because they didn't know how to teach them really until Helen Keller came along. But we're talking about it, oftentimes Chazal will use the word cheresh for both someone who can't speak and hear, and that type of person has significantly less das, as we call it. But here we're just talking about someone who can't hear, but they can speak fine. So what's unique here, and Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out, is that in general, someone who's able to speak and not hear, they're chayiv in mitzvos. So it's something interesting that we're saying someone who's chayiv in mitzvos still shouldn't read for you. And the question is, why not? What's unique about this mitzvah? And what you see from here is that something unique about the mitzvah is that the mitzvah of Megillah is not simply, even though the main part is to al-mikra Megillah, to say it, but part of that mitzvah is also lishmoa, to hear it. And you have to have the ability to hear it. Now, that has a lot of important nafkaminas. If you look at the Nishmas Avram here in Siman Tafresh Beites, he brings down a whole list of poskim and achronim that discuss the hearing aids and cochlear implants and microphones and all these different things, which are very, very important. But just what's specifically nogea to clinicians in a hospital setting. So if you look at the end of this Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Hey, he writes, Vida, Demisha kavdo aznav oshu rachok min habima, someone who's hard of hearing. He's far from the bima, and he can't hear well. So he should be very careful to at least read from a kosher Megillah, or at least the words that he misses, he can read in the Megillah, in a Chumash. As long as it's not all the whole Megillah, obviously. So practically, that means that it's important you have to be able to hear the Megillah. Now, what's considered hearing? Is hearing, as we said, is hearing with, you know, a microphone, is hearing with a loudspeaker, hearing with cochlear implants, hearing aids? These are all very, very important. Dinim, again, you can look in the Nishmas Avram, who discusses that at length. But the question is going to be a telephone, right? If you're, can you go on your phone and listen into a minyan? If you can't, you don't have a kosher Megillah, you don't know how to read, even if you did have a kosher Megillah, you just wouldn't be it, you don't feel comfortable, whatever it is, can you do that? So most of the poskim assume not, Shlomo Zalman has an important tshuva in his tshuvas Minchas Shlomo in Chelek Aleph and Siman Tes about this. But as he quotes the Chazon Ish and what's known to a lot of people, Rav Moshe and Or HaChaim in Chelek Beis in Siman Kuf Ches also has a tshuva amongst other places where he says Midin, even though he doesn't encourage this, but there are times that through a phone you would be able to be Yotzei your mitzvah Midina. So generally speaking, we do not. However, B'Shas HaTchak, often we can rely on that. Rav Shechter has written in a tshuva that, for example, during COVID, when people weren't able to gather to get minyan and were afraid to leave their homes for health reasons, so B'Shas HaTchak, when there was no other option, he allowed to call in and to rely on this Rav Moshe. Again, that would just be B'Shas HaTchak, but that's another important aspect that's at play here. Again, if you can't gather minyan, A, you can't read it by yourself because either you don't have a kosher Megillah or you just don't know how, or the Seirugin, the spurts are going to be too long and you're in a place of an onus that you can't have too long spurts in between. So then perhaps you can call in and listen to a minyan that's laning already, or someone else that's laning for you already, you know, with their brachos. Okay, so that's in short all things that have to do with Megillah. So now let's go to Mishloach Manos. So what does a doctor do, or a nurse do, a healthcare, as I call them, healthcare hero do when they're in the hospital for Purim and they don't know what to do about Mishloach Manos? They're all going to be there all day. So just to begin, it's important to know the Machlokes, a very well-known Machlokes by Mishloach Manos, what the purpose, what's the reason behind Mishloach Manos. The Trumas HaDeshin in Siman Kuf Yod Aleph tells us the reason is to give people enough for their Seuda. It's to give food for the Seuda. The Manos HaLevi, which was written by the great Kabbalist, or Shlomo Alkabetz, the author of the Lecha Dodi. So in his Sefer on Esther, so he writes the reason is to be Mar B'Shalom V'Reyus, to increase love, brotherliness, togetherness, unity, friendliness, peace, all that, to increase that's really the point of, for various reasons, as he writes there in his Perish, but that's the reason of Mishloach Manos. So the Chassam Sofer famously discusses this at length in a tshuva and Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav and all the different nafgaminos. So we're going to discuss a few different options that a clinician will have in a hospital. They all, most of them will probably fall into this machlokas as to, you know, what we do. But they're just important things to think about. So firstly, it's just important to know the Mishnah Berurah Siman Tafresh Tzadihe and Sifkat and Yudches I put here in the slides writes that there's a suffix that the Binyan Tzion, Rabbi Yaakov Edlinger, the great Aruch Laner, there's a suffix that he had whether you need, not can, whether you need to give Mishloach Manos through a messenger, through a shliach, or you can just do it yourself. Because the pasuk says umishloach, that he sends, so it sounds like through a messenger. Now we all give by ourselves; we're not necessarily machmir, as the poskim say, to give with a shliach. But it's very obvious that you are allowed to appoint a shliach. So if a clinician, in no other way, he can appoint, whether it's a spouse or the rabbi of a shul or anyone he wants, to give mishloach manos for him, that wouldn't be any issue. Now, what about if someone wants to give Mishloach Manos before Purim? So obviously I can't give today for Purim. That's not called Mishloach Manos. But what happens, as the Ber Heitav writes us in Siman Tafresh Tzadi and Sifkat and Zayin, again it's on the slides, Misha Shalach HaChaver Shemdinas Hayom Shnei Manos. So he gives his Mishloach Manos, but before Purim. Kodem Purim. Uve Purim Atzmo Bevadai Magiyim Liyado. But on Purim itself, that's when the person's going to receive the Mishloach Manos, is he Yotzei or not? And he brings down from the Yad Aharon that Daito Note de Yotzei de Chovaso, that he would be able to be Yotzei. So theoretically, if you arrange, there are many Jewish institutions that do this, beforehand arrange that Mishloach Manos will be given out on Purim itself to two people, two items, to two people at the very least, so you'd be able to be Yotzei your mitzvah, and that well as well, without a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan, he writes, that's point number two. Point number three, we're going to skip that Aruch HaShulchan. Point number three, there's a big discussion whether one is allowed to give Mishloach Manos to sick patients if the sick patients can't eat the Mishloach Manos that you're giving them. So the Nishmas Avram actually brings down, I brought down from Ephraim Greenblatt in the Rivos Ephraim in Aruch HaYim, in Chelek Aleph in Siman Tov Nun Tes, who asks the question. But if you look in the Nishmas Avram, again in Siman Tov Reish Tzadiyah, he quotes a big machlokas between his Rebbe, Reb Neubert, and he ends up agreeing with Reb Neubert, versus Reb Zilberstein and Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And he says that according to Reb Neubert, his Rebbe, you wouldn't be Yotzei if you gave, candy to a diabetic in the hospital. That's not, you can't be Yotzei your mitzvah. or anything else. If the doctors say he can't really eat anything at this point or digest anything, whatever it is, for Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Zilberstein thought that you would be able to. Again, ideally, we wouldn't do this. You would have other ways. Either you would appoint a shliach, or you would just give it, you know, make sure it's done on Purim beforehand. But this is a machlokas. If you forgot to do all of those things and there's no shliach to be appointed, you know, there is a machlokas here. Rav Shechter has told me that he didn't say you wouldn't be yotzei your mitzvah, but he didn't think you should do this. But that this is an option that some of the poskim do think you could be yotzei your mitzvah mishloach manos with. That's that. Then I put here in the Aruch HaShulchan at Simitav Reish Tzadi Vav and Sif Gimel. It's just an important thing to understand for doctors who are in the hospital. That Yira Eli Dilatzeis LaDerech MiBeisol BePurim. Someone who's going to leave their house on Purim, Eino Nachum. He really shouldn't. To Iker Simcha Hu in Bnei Beisol. The Iker Simcha is with his house, with his family. Kidechsev Samachta Ato Veisecha B'Maser Sheni. Uvergalim Ksev Samachta Ovincha Vitecha. So he should really be with his house. Skipping a few words, that's the mitzvah to be in his house. Imishto v'zara with his wife and children. Even if someone is forced to travel, i.e., someone's forced to be in the hospital, and he's forced to be listen to Megillah somewhere not in his house. He should set aside some time to have a suda. It doesn't work if you don't appoint your household member as a shliach. It doesn't work that just because you live with them that they give mishloach manos for you, says the Aruch HaShulchan. No, you're supposed to do it yourself. So ideally, you do it yourself, or you appoint someone to do it for you. But you can't just say, oh no, I'm relying, my wife's going to do it for me, my husband's going to do it for me. No, you're really supposed to do it yourself. And that's an important point of this. You know, the last of the options here is the Ran in Zayin Amud Beis, based off the Gemara in Zayin Amud Beis, discusses the concept of Mechalfei Sud Asayu, that you can be Mekayim Mishloach Manos by exchanging meals. So if you're in the hospital, you can just go to the calf with someone else, and you can exchange meals, and you can both have the Suda and the calf. You buy that person's meal, they buy your meal. You're Mekayim Mishloach Manos, and you're able to have a Suda on Purim, both would work. So those are all different just, you know, points, again, disparate, but points of options and different things you can do in terms of Mishloach Manos. In terms of Matanos Lavyonim, so again, a person's supposed to give Matanos Lavyonim on Purim itself. As we just pointed out, the Aruch HaShulchan said, you know, just because you're someone else, you can't assume, you know, your household's going to give Matanos Lavyonim. That doesn't work. You have to give it yourself. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Tafresh Tzadi Dalid, in Siv Beis, I put on the slides, and the second line. Again, you can appoint a shliach. So if you know you're going to be in the hospital today, find an organization. There are hundreds of them that say we're going to give. Make sure it's trustworthy. But say that say we're going to give out matanos avionim on Purim. You can give them, you know, your whatever amount of money beforehand, and they say we're going to give it out on Purim. You're mekayim your mitzvah that way. That's the most ideal way of dealing with this. What about a Seuda? So again, we've dealt with mostly Megillah. I'm going to get back to that at the end. But Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim. The last thing we have is the Seuda. That's the other mitzvah that we do on Purim. So what do you do for a Seuda? So again, as I mentioned before, ideally go to the calf and have a Seuda. What do you need to eat for the Seuda? So there's a machlokas in the poskim whether one is supposed to have bread. The Magen Avram in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Hein Siv Katan Tes said that no one ever heard of you need to eat bread on Purim. Where did that come from? But the Aruch HaShulchan and Tafresh Tzadi and Siv Zayin writes, no, v'li nira d'lo yotza, that you wouldn't be yotze if you didn't eat bread. Dum yud Shabbos v'yantif, similar to Shabbos and Yantif, v'odein mishne b'lo lechem. And there's no meal without bread. So you need bread according to the Aruch HaShulchan. So that would be machlokas. Ideally, we try to have bread at our meal. So if you go to the calf, try to get a sandwich or at least something you can wash on. Now, we all know that part of the mitzvah of Purim is, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, based off the Gemara, Tafresh Tzadi Hein Siv Beis, Chai V'Nish L'Psume B'Puraya Adlo Yada, that there's a chiyuv to drink wine. Now, whatever the chiyuv is, as the Rama says, it's not so much to get drunk, but to drink a little bit and then fall asleep. All the different things which I'm sure everyone's heard shiurim on in the past. Obviously, there would be an issur to get drunk in the hospital. That's very clear. You're putting lives at risk. And perhaps even drinking a little bit would be a problem, even taking a sip of wine It may also be an issue. One would have to figure out in their situation if taking a little bit would even be appropriate, if that does anything. If they take a tiny sip of wine and then take a break while they're in the call room for half hour, maybe that would potentially work. I'm not saying I recommend it, but that potentially would work. And if you don't do it, you don't do it. It's not ma'akev, as the poskim all say. If there's nothing to do, there's nothing all to do. The background to all of these mitzvos is that when you're a clinician in the hospital, very often you're already being an osek in a mitzvah. And when you're being osek in a mitzvah, you're pater min ha-mitzvos. So you're pater from a lot of mitzvos, all of these mitzvos potentially. You're an ones for all of these mitzvos. But there are times when we still try to, if you can, if you have time here and time there, you should try to do it. But if a person is literally busy the whole time, there's nothing to do, he's being osek b'mitzvah, he's pater from all the mitzvahs hayom. If you have breaks here and there, so you should try to get in Megillah, ideally, that's first and foremost. And then you should try to get in the other things. You should try to have a suda, you should do Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim. Again, Mishloach Manos and Matanos Avyonim, you have the ability to do beforehand. So that shouldn't be really an issue. It's really the Megillah and the Seuda, practically, that you can't do anything beforehand. Meaning beforehand, that should be done on the day. But Seuda and Megillah, you can't do beforehand. So you should, again, Megillah is the thing you have to work on first. Make sure you get that. And the Seuda also, you should try to be able to have some form of Seuda. One of the things I mentioned, just to go back to the Kriyas HaMegillah, before we end, is another question I get a lot is the Zmanim. Is about, you know, if you're going to shift or whatever, what time can you read the Megillah? So at nighttime is a discussion, but really we hold that you're not supposed to read before Tzeis HaKochavim. The opinion of the Gaon and other Achronim, the Vilna Gaon and the other Achronim, is that reading the Megillah during Bein HaShmashos, right, going into Purim, doesn't work. You need to wait till Tzeis. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does point out in Sifkat and Yud Dalet and Tafresh Tzadi Beis that B'shas HaDchak, maybe you could listen to the Megillah and Bein HaShmashos. So there are many poskim that say if you, that's the only option. There's no option to do anything else. So you maybe have what to rely on because of that Mishnah Berurah. But ideally, we really wait until Tzeis HaKochavim. During the day, so again, we read from Netzach Hama on, all day is the mitzvah. If you're in the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tafresh Pei Zayin Sifkat and Vav, if there's any reason, any onus, even a slight onus, the Mishnah Berurah says, it doesn't have to be so major, so you can read already from Alos, from before Netzach Hama. So if you know you're going into the hospital early, and you know you're going in before Netz, but you can still get a Kriyas HaMegillah after Alos, So that wouldn't be a problem at all. The only question would really be if the Megillah can only be heard Bein HaShmashos, that would be a question that one would need to ask. So again, just to quickly summarize what we did very, very quickly, I apologize, but I didn't want to take too long with these things. But we discussed Kriyas HaMegillah. We pointed out that A, Kriyas HaMegillah really ideally should be done b'tzibor with other people, with many other people, with at least 10 other people, but we allow b'yachid. You would be able to say the bracha alone, the brachos beforehand, even if you're reading alone with a kosher Megillah, but you would not say the brachos afterwards. And that's the ideal situation. Again, if you had an option where you had spurts, so if the reason why you had to leave the Kriya and you had to go back to a patient, if that is called an ones, so maybe you would have to go back to the beginning, maybe you wouldn't. It depends on, again, your given situation. Number three, if you're a woman that's in the position, you should try to make a different bracha beforehand if you're doing this lishmoa, not al-mikra Megillah. Number four, if none of these options work, so b'shas adchak, God only, we can rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein and call into a Megillah to hear the Megillah. The Zmanim are what I just pointed out. In terms of Mishloach Manos, so again, ideally appoint a Shliach to do it, or you do it beforehand and set it up so that it's given on Purim itself. If those options don't work, giving to a Chole who can't eat it is not ideal, but there are poskim that allow it. And giving to I didn't mention this also, but our Chashulchan discusses giving to a Katan. There are other potential options, but you should try to do it yourself. Matanos Avyonim, again, set up beforehand that it's given on Purim itself. That also won't be an issue. And the Seuda, so again, ideally have bread. It's a machlokes. If you don't, you could still be yotze your mitzvah Seudas Purim, probably. But ideally, you should have bread. And in terms of, obviously, and ideally have fleishchs. I didn't mention, but that's what our Chashulchan there also said. And in terms of drinking, obviously, it's usher to you to get drunk if you're in a hospital. You know, if there's a way to drink a tiny amount of wine and it doesn't affect you and you can take a short nap to be fulfill the words of the Rama there, so maybe one has to figure out what their situation is, but maybe that would work as well. Again, for the Suda, also switching meals with someone else, buying meals for someone else, that would also be an option. Okay, so there are a lot of different options that are laid out before everyone, and everyone should ask their local rabbi, what the most ideal one is, what the best one is in their given situation. Okay, I think that's pretty much covers most of the stuff. That's okay.
Thank you so very much. Of course. I guess if there's any questions, now would be the time to ask.